Well, good morning again. Actually, it's afternoon. I make this mistake all the time. We're actually taping this during the afternoon. Maybe morning where you are right now. But again, it's a great delight to be with you. My heart yearns every week to prepare these messages as I wait for God to speak to me and give me a thought. Give me a message for his people. I take that so seriously. It's really the center, absolute center of my life as far as what I do. Today we want to talk about going the distance. You know, common conversation among people could include the following language. Everyday language. Hang in there. You have to stick it out. Finish the job. Don't quit. You can make it. You know, there are many situations in all of our daily lives in which we may have those very things said to us. When you're faced with difficult situations, even times of what you feel to be impossible odds against you, the question may arise, will I make it? Am I going to last? The Holy Scriptures address this topic and bring into account as foremost at the top of the list, going the distance in the realm of the Christian life. It's key in the Scriptures. Looking at our everyday lives, in our journey in this life, we may have had to stick it out for many years to get the education that we wanted and needed, maybe for a particular profession. You know, most people go to school, at least I say in my generation, most people went to school for at least 12 years, first grade through high school. Some went on to go to college another 4 years, possibly, and then maybe advanced degrees, which could be another 8 years on top of that four. So that's well over 20 consecutive years, usually. May have been broken up at particular times in folks' lives. But that's a long time, folks. And they had to stick it out. Some of us may not have good health. And we suffer a great deal of pain throughout our lives and have no choice but to hang in there and tough it out. Thank God for certain medications, but even then, there could be a great deal of pain remaining. I've experienced that to some degree, and I know some of you who have experienced it to a much greater degree than I have. And if you're a Christian, thanks be to God for the strength that he gives us to hang in there and tough it out. Marriage was once a respected institution in America. Till death do us part, a lifetime of commitment. Most marriages today are not gonna make it. It's just the reality. There may have been a number of things we should have seen through, but we quit. Here is where we need to begin about taking a look in a biblical view of, will you make it? Personally, I do believe that people in general, not just Christians, but people in general do give thought to the possibility that there may be, Of course, Christians know this to be true, but people in general today, give thought to the possibility that there may be a heaven, but give much less thought to the reality of hell. Whatever the case, they think if there is a heaven, that they're certainly not bad enough to be kept out of heaven. These people think they are going to make it. Now, as Christians, before we think less of heaven and hell in God's eternal purpose for mankind, don't forget what Jesus taught when he began his teaching ministry. Let me say that in a little different way, a bit more clearly. You and I, as Christians, must not take heaven and hell less importantly than Christ did. For in fact, Christ began his teaching ministry by preaching this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the way he began his ministry. In Luke 13:3, Christ made clear the absolute necessity of repentance. And repentance is turning away from sin, confessing that sin, and turning to God for forgiveness. That absolute necessity of repentance and the consequence for not repenting was clearly addressed by the Lord Jesus. He said, unless you repent, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Peter, in his second letter, gives us vivid language concerning those who perish. But these, says Peter, will utterly perish in their own corruption, in their own decay, in their own rottenness, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Forever. Folks, that's a word that you and I really cannot comprehend. Forever. An eternal blackness of darkness, that doesn't seem to match up, does it, with what we see in Revelation chapter 14 when it comes to hell, where unrepentant sinners are found. From Revelation 14, we see this. Now remember, we're comparing this with the blackness of darkness. These unrepentant sinners shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends upward forever and ever. Fire, brimstone, and the light of the Lamb of God don't seem to go together with the blackness of darkness. Folks, such is the incomprehensible reality of hell and the torment within that eternal habitation. And it's God who determines our habitation. Hell's reality is beyond human comprehension. And to realize it is forever is even more incomprehensible to the human mind. But true nonetheless. Just because we cannot comprehend it doesn't mean that it is not true and that it will not happen. It is true and it will happen. There is a hell, a place of eternal torment. Now, my message today is particularly addressed to Christians and those who profess to be Christians. Will you be with the sheep on Christ's right hand at the last day? Being at his right hand is a place of his favor. Oh my, that's where I want to be found. Just briefly looking at that from the scripture in Matthew chapter 25, Christ as the Son of Humanity. When the Son of Humanity comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats, And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king, this very same Jesus Christ, will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That kingdom is none other than the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which Christ came preaching. And when we see this last day, we're going to see the kingdom of heaven in its fullness, in eternity, after the last day. Will you make it? Now, I want us to look closely at the key to going the distance if you are truly a Christian. I'm going to point to it in two ways as we move on through the message. And I'm going to ask you, can you relate intimately with what is going to be said through the rest of this message? It's absolutely imperative that you do. I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading verses 10 through 14. Paul writes to Timothy, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering or patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured." Paul knew what he was talking about. "And out of all, the Lord delivered me." And out of all, the Lord delivered me. Are you listening to me? "Yes, and all." How many does that leave out among the ones he speaks of? "Yes, and all who are willing to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." Things you've been assured of, folks, are things you have hope in, expectation. Please listen closely to me. If you're listening to this message today, you're probably from the school of thought I'm going to speak of. comes from the mind of God, and it's found everywhere throughout the scripture. As those who believe in God's absolute sovereignty, we are the prime recipients of ridicule from the vast majority of so-called Christians and are considered as idiotic zealots by the vast majority of those who reject Christ openly. We are easy targets for persecution as we are considered cold and heartless because we believe in a God of predestination and election. I pray that you listen to that. That is all absolutely true. Such a position, which is the biblical position, the position given to us by God, from God's mind and purpose, it's unthinkable to all humanity outside of God's elect and worthy, they think, of persecution. We deserve to be persecuted for what we believe. Now listen up. You're going to think I've gone off the rail here. It would not be out of the realm of possibility for John 16:2 to be applied to us today. The time is coming, John 16:2. The time is coming that whosoever kills you, that whosoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Now again, for those, listen up. For those of you who think that's a silly statement to be saying, Jesus Christ and the apostles, which were put to death, those that were put to death, all believed in God's absolute sovereignty. The Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, tell me that this is not pointing out God's absolute sovereignty. Speaking to his disciples, I meant the whole realm of his disciples, not the inner core of them. But there are some of you who do not believe. Goodness. But Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Folks, you may think you can fool the Lord God. He knows what you think before you think it. And he said, therefore I have said to you, because he knew those that did not believe, he says, therefore I have said to you that no one can, is able to come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Folks, that's God's absolute sovereignty. From that, and a great disservice has been done by the translators who put the word time in there. That is not what the text is saying. From that means, from what I just said, from that many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Folks, they didn't go the distance. They quit. Now, Paul the Apostle. If you don't know Paul the Apostle's position on predestination and election, you just haven't read the Bible. He is foremost in the letters in bringing that out. John's first gospel is also very strong too. But Paul, his position is unmistakable. He had the following said to him as recorded in Acts 26:24. Remember, I told you people think that we are idiotic zealots. Listen to what was said to Paul. Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. The word mad, folks, look it up in your Strong's Concordance. The word mad means crazy. They called Paul crazy for what he believed. Same thing today with you and I. Now we're going to deal more with God's absolute sovereignty as we will come to the end a little bit later. Job 14:1 is especially true for Christians. Mankind, born of woman, is a few days, comparatively speaking, and full of trouble. Did you hear that? Christian, did you hear that? Days full of trouble. Oh, I thought the Christian life cleared everything up. Everything's going to get better. No trouble for Christians. If you're having trouble as a Christian, you must be doing something wrong. You're not living right. You've heard all those arguments. Paul says this to God's church. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. No one, if you're a Christian, no one should be moved by these afflictions, these troubles. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. We are ordained to this. Now you people, you folks who profess to be Christians, do you know that? Do you really know that you are appointed to such a life? Might want to rethink your commitment. The sovereign God of the universe has purposed this to be the way of the Christian life. It's the way that it is. No way out. Faced with that reality and that the fact that there's no way out, we are compelled as Christians, we are compelled by the Spirit of God as Christians to finish the course, to finish the race. And folks, it's not a sprint, but it's a test of our endurance. Since we are faced with the reality of such a perilous journey in our lives as Christians, you and I must apply ourselves with all earnestness. 1 Corinthians 15:58, first part of that verse says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable." In that very same letter to the 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, "Steadfast in the faith." Now, the faith is a reference to the whole counsel of God. Folks, you need to be reading your scriptures, prayerfully reading the scriptures, being steadfast in those things that God teaches you. Psalm 62, my goodness. Psalm 62, among a number of other psalms, has been a huge help to me when faced with much affliction, with much trouble, yes, even persecution. I'm just reading parts of it, so don't try to follow along. Listen. Listen up. "Truly my soul silently waits for God." Now, what are you waiting for? "My soul silently waits for God." Truly. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, I'm going to be steadfast. Why? Because I'm looking to God. I'm waiting on God. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. From Him. Expectation, you could just as well put the word hope. For my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense. I shall not be moved. Immovable. In God is my salvation. In God. It's not anywhere else. It's in God, in Christ. In God is my salvation and my glory. What would you boast in? Well, it would be in God and God alone. The rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. You might want to read Psalm 62. You might just want to read that. The only way you will go the distance in the Christian life is to expect. Listen to me. We're talking about the key I spoke of earlier, going the distance. The key to going the distance is to expect Christ to be your salvation. Do you hear me? You need to expect Christ to be your salvation. In times of trouble, you must trust in Him. Wait on Him. And He will deliver you. This is your hope, your expectation. Psalm 50:15, Christ says. Now, if you haven't listened to anything else I've said, please listen to this segment of the message. Please, whatever you're doing, listen to this. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, says Christ. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Now, one truth you must know from that scripture, the day of trouble, listen up, folks, when is your day of trouble? It's from the time Christ saves you until, now I'm in initial salvation, when you fled to Christ by faith, from that time until you see Him at the last day and are conformed to His image without sin, that's the day of trouble. That span of time is the day of trouble. You know, a day is 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years is a day. Well, the day of trouble for you and I is from the time God saves us until we see Him and made like Him and are made like Him. I hope you got that. Your entire life on this present earth as a Christian is the day of trouble. 1 Corinthians 1:18 refers to those who are being saved. If you are truly a Christian, you go the distance as Christ continues to save you day by day. That's the way it works. And you, if you are born again and equipped with the fruit of the Spirit, which all Christians are, which everyone who's been born again has the fruit of the Spirit, you will exercise that faith necessary to finish your course. God does not give the Spirit in vain. It's for a purpose. And it's to keep you on course. And God will do that. And for those of you who don't agree with the truth of Christ saving us day by day, saying that leaves the door up open for us to lose our salvation, folks, that's absolutely the best place you can be. The most secure condition is Christ saving you day by day. No one can ever take you away from God the Father and God the Son. John 10, 28 and 29, no one can snatch you out of Christ's hand or the Father's hand. God, He who has begun a good work in you, will complete it during the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 16. You didn't start this on your own, folks. The Lord God Almighty did. And what He starts, He finishes. The best place you can be every day, day by day, as a Christian, is in the hand of the absolutely sovereign God. Jude writes to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:9 makes clear that what was just said was God's purpose before time began. Those who are called by God, separated by God for Himself, and preserved in Christ for all eternity, will all go the distance unto final salvation. Friends, God finishes what He starts. He doesn't quit. If you are truly a Christian today, He will let you know that. And you know the wonderful thing about it? This includes our entire being, our entire being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Again, we're in that realm of the key to going the distance. Now, may the God of peace Himself, you hear that? The God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, whole, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. Folks, we're up and down with our faith, but God is perfect. He's always faithful, who also will do it. Yes, the Lord God is a doer. What He starts, He finishes. And friends, for those whom He saves, He preserves us blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, what will He do? He will preserve, God will preserve your entire being unto final salvation. Only those who endure to the end shall be saved. Stated clearly in both Matthew and Mark's Gospels. I close with this. Every true Christian will go the distance. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs for me. Psalm 37, 3 and verse 7. Trust in the Lord and do good. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And you will go the distance. Amen.